Sometimes we cause the storms that we are in. We don't always do it on purpose. Sometimes we do it on purpose. You ever gotten angry and you knew you shouldn't be getting angry at that moment, but you went on anyways? You knew what you were doing was not the right thing to be doing with this person, but you let yourself just get too angry.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is When Storms Come Our Way, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
You know, God is a wonderful God, and we're going to be talking today about when storms come our way. But when storms started coming into my life and I started seeking Him in those storms, wow, you get to know God. You get to know God. And storms are really, really a blessing if you want them to be. Anybody know that you can have a blessing come out of a storm? I mean, God can really bring Himself to let you know who He is when a storm is coming through. But see, you can miss the opportunity. All right, guys, we're going to be going to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." The causes of life's storms. Sometimes we cause the storms we are in. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. You may be doing something right now that's going to cause you problems 5, 10, 15 years from now. Or maybe problems tomorrow or later today. Sometimes we cause the storms that we are in. We don't always do it on purpose. Sometimes we do it on purpose. You ever gotten angry and you knew you shouldn't be getting angry at that moment, but you went on anyways? You knew what you were doing was not the right thing to be doing with this person, but you let yourself just get too angry and it turned into something bigger than you planned it to be. There's lots of ways we can get ourselves into a storm, isn't there? Not taking care of our car, not checking our oil. Maintenance, right? Slacking on things. Getting our nose into other people's business. That could get you into a storm. I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that we can find ourselves into a storm that we ourselves got ourselves into. Poor parenting. Poor job ethics. Poor health ethics. Lots of ways that we can find ourselves into a storm. Hanging around the wrong people. Being at the wrong places. Those are just some examples. But we can cause a storm for ourselves doing the wrong thing with the wrong people at the wrong places. Everybody agree with that? Sometimes others cause the storm we are in. You could be walking along all innocently, minding your own business, not causing anybody any problems, and somebody comes along and they did something. You had nothing to do with it. I mean, you're just minding your own business and somebody comes along and There they are. Sometimes Satan causes the storm we are in. Did you know that there's people that Satan messes with? There's people that Satan talks to. Jesus said that the people couldn't understand his words because they were not his children. They were not God's children. They were the children of their father, the devil. You know, if you're dealing with somebody who's not a Christian, they're not hearing from God. You can't hear from God if you're not a Christian because you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what interprets what God has to say. Jesus is the bridge. Remember we talked about Jesus being the bridge? If you don't have a line of communication, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray through Jesus to get to God. We can't get to God without Jesus. So if you're communicating with another person who is not a Christian, guess who they're talking to? They're talking to Satan, and Satan's talking to them. Now, this is biblical. Read your Bible, and you'll find that I'm telling you the truth here. People who are not Christians, they're not hearing from God. In fact, they don't want to hear from God. So if you don't want to hear from somebody, you check the caller ID, and you reject the call. Non-Christians do that all the time. Unfortunately, Christians do that too. Hey, this is God calling. Oh, I'll talk to you later. But sometimes Satan causes the storm we're in. He can cause strife between you and another person. He could set something up in a group of other people and use them to attack you. That's why it's very, 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 very serious how you pick your friends. You know, church is all about God, but I believe that God is all about us because his center focus is Christ. When we come here, we worship Jesus Christ. We worship God. We worship what he's done. But we have fellowship here too, don't we? We have friends in Christ, brothers and sisters, right? It's important to have friends in Christ. Now, I'm not saying that people who are not saved will always do bad things to you. But I am saying that Satan can use them to cause a storm in your life. And believe me, when Satan is using somebody who is not saved to come after you, it's not always obvious. Right now, some of you are thinking of pictures of someone holding you up by gunpoint or threatening you or robbing you. But you know, Satan is smarter than that. Sure, he can do all of that with unsaved people. But Satan can also bring a person into your life that is more sly. He could come into your life and use somebody to work you over time, to change you, and to draw you away from God over time. See, Satan's patient. He knows what makes you tick, and he knows how to set a storm up that doesn't always come suddenly. You see what I'm saying? The calm before the storm. We've all heard that one, right? You think that you're just sitting pretty in the nice sun, all comfortable, no worries, and suddenly, whoosh, everything comes down. That's because Satan was working something that you didn't even see coming. He blindsided you because he's smarter than you. He's smarter than you. So sometimes Satan can cause a storm that you're in. Sometimes God causes the storms that we are in. What did you say, preacher man? Sometimes God causes the storm that we are in. Look at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He was leading them into the storm. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew about that storm. Yet he's telling his disciples, "Come on." What? God, you do that to me? He did it to his disciples. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Jesus knew this storm was coming, and he wanted to bring them into it because he had a purpose. Some of you don't like that thought, that God will lead you into a storm. But when he does that, he has a reason. We're going to go over that. Ultimately, God has to allow all storms to come our way. When I say our way, I'm talking about his children. Nothing gets to us without being filtered through God. So it's his permission that has to allow the storm to come. So when you see a storm, God allowed it. And that can make you angry if you don't know God. I didn't say that God causes all storms. I said ultimately God has to allow all storms to come our way. It means that whatever is going to happen to you, God has got to filter it. And you may not like it, but then we're not God. And I'm not preaching today that we have to like storms. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. That's not what I'm preaching about today. Why God allows storms in our lives? That's a big question. God uses storms to shape and mold us. You ever see anybody work on a pottery wheel? They take out a little knife and they cut some things away. They push in on it and they pull on other areas. They're molding and shaping that pottery. God uses storms to mold us, to shape us, to direct us. Now, see, I would love to sit up here and preach the word of God and I myself get everything out of it that I need. And you get everything out of it that you need and just be transformed into the image of Christ. But that's only a part of it because we're living flesh, right? We have other parts to us. We're not just spiritual, we're physical. And there's some physical things that God needs to shape out of you. There's some physical things that God needs to mold into you. The physical things as well as the spiritual things. See, you could have it up here, but you may not be practicing it out there. Does that make sense? You're a vessel, and a vessel is physical. It holds something. And if you're a child of God, you're holding the Spirit of God, and you're walking around with the Spirit of God inside of you. But if you're not shaping up, then God is going to bring a storm to shape you up, to mold you, to direct you. You might think that you're getting blown off course, and you might be being blown off course, absolutely. You may be going in the wrong direction, and God says, wrong way. I'm going to blow some heavy winds into your sails, and you're going to go the other way. You're going to be rowing, but you'd be going this way. You're going that way. You're going this way. You're going where God tells you to go. You're at the mercy of the storm's winds. Anybody have a plan? Something that you were going to do? And suddenly something changed all that. You had your whole life figured out, or at least your whole week, and then something come up. Your car breaks down, or your friend passes away, or just any number of things that takes you by surprise. The next thing you know, you're in a totally different direction than where you were going. God can use storms to shape and mold us. And you know, if God is working with rough clay, he needs a bigger storm, doesn't he? There's some people today in a storm, and God is trying to shape them and mold them, and he's talking to them right now. You know who you are. Don't raise your hands. You know who you are. There's something going on in your life right now that you don't like. Or something not going on in your life that you want to be going on that you don't like. And God is using that to shape you and mold you. Storms blow away the part of us that do not conform to the character of Christ. There's things inside of you that don't look like God, that don't look like his son Jesus. Jesus said that anybody who has seen me has seen the Father. Spiritually, God wants you to look like him. He created man in his own image. We're speaking spiritually. But we have fallen. Man has fallen. So Jesus redeems us. And so now we must be grown into the image of Christ so that we may be vessels. So God blows away parts of us that don't conform to what Jesus is like. That makes sense? There's things inside of each and every one of us that don't line up with Jesus Christ. They're not matching up. God's looking at you and he says, oh, I don't like that behavior in you. I don't like that attitude in you. I don't like that thought process that's going through your mind. I got to blow that away. Knock it out of you. Storms break things up. They mix things up. They blow things around. They rattle. They shake. They tear away. How many of you have had things blown away in your own life because of a storm? You may not have thought about it at the time, but God was changing you. He was fixing things that he saw wrong with you. I can't do that for you. I can't look at you and say, well, this is what I need to fix. I can't fix you. I can't blow those things out of you. God can use people and things to change you, but ultimately it's his direction that's causing that. God doesn't always use storms to blow things away. But we are talking about when he does use storms, that this is one of the reasons why. Not always the reason, but one of the reasons. Storms build faith and patience in us. Listen, if you got nothing to be faithful for and nothing to be patient for, how are you going to grow those things? How are you going to learn to trust somebody if you never had to trust them? We talked about that in previous sermons, right? But when you're going through a storm and it looks like the disciples, man, they thought they were going to drown, didn't they? They thought they were going to drown. See how scary that looked? It's serious. You're in a boat and it's sinking. You got to have your faith built up in that storm. You got to have your faith built up. You also got to have patience. Some of you might think you're a patient person. Well, let God test your patience and then ask yourself if you're patient. See, God doesn't like impatient people. They're reckless. Impatient people are reckless. They're spontaneous. They get themselves into trouble. They get other people in trouble because they're impatient. They're hasty. They make decisions that are based on feelings rather than thought out plans or on the word of God. Most importantly, see, when you're impatient, you want to find another solution to something your way, the world's way. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to hear what God has to say about this situation. I got to do something. But God can put you in a situation where you can't do nothing. Boy, that's called timeout. And it makes you learn patience to wait on him. Because you see, we like to pray to God for answers and deliverance, don't we? But we don't like to wait on God to answer, do we? Do we? God, help me. Oh, you're not answering right away. I'll just go do it myself. That's not patient. That's not patience, and that's not faith. God wants to build faith and patience. Faith is important because you got to believe that God is going to do it. You got to believe that God is there for you. You can't say that I believe in Jesus Christ and not have any faith that he's going to be there with you in the storm. That's not believing in somebody. That's not true belief. That's not true faith in God. Again, faith is not all about I believe there's a God. Faith is, I believe in God. I trust him. I follow him, and I'm willing to wait on his direction and his guidance and his deliverance to get me out And I also believe that what I'm going through is for my own good. I've done everything biblically that I can do. Biblically, notice I use that word biblically. I've done everything that I could do biblically to get out of this storm. I've done all the right things that I could think of. I'm not perfect, but I'm still here. But I have faith that God is here with me, that He is going to get me out. Faith. I believe in you. I trust in you. I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. But I'm still in the boat with you, Jesus. I'm still in the boat with you. I didn't jump out of the boat. I'm still hanging on. I'm not shaking you awake and saying, don't you care? See, these guys were probably thinking, and again, I don't know what they were thinking, but they might have been thinking, I'm solid with Jesus. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and He says, let's get in the boat. Take a ride. See how solid you are with me. And nobody spoke this, but they probably had a false confidence in God. Like many Christians, I go to church, I carry a Bible, and I talk religious. That makes me a Christian. But God looks at you and He says, you know, I'm not too concerned about what all these other people think about you. I'm concerned about what you're thinking about you and your relationship with me. Because see, you can fool all of them. And you've even been fooling yourself. But now I'm going to put you through a storm. And now we're going to find out what your relationship with me is. Because see, God already knows what your relationship with Him is. He already knows what level of faith you are with Him. But He needs to show you, because you know, we fool ourselves. We think we got it going on. I got my life together. I got it going with God. I don't need anybody to help me. I don't need God to help me. You may not be thinking that consciously, but then God brings a storm and He says, come along. Oh, you're in it now. Now, wait a minute. Now, before we got here, you were cool with me. You're going to church, carrying your Bible. Now you're in the storm. You're like, I ain't going to church. What good does that do? I ain't going to read my Bible. What good does that do? Now you're dropping Jesus. Now you're dropping God. No, you got to stay in the boat when the storm comes. You got to say to the devil, look, there is a God and He's here with me. And the devil's going to say, then how come you're still in the storm? And then you're going to have to say, that's because God is teaching me something. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. I'm going to have faith enough to stand in this storm. Because, you know, you might get blown around in the storm, but you won't get blown down in the storm as long as Jesus is holding you up. It's better to be in the boat than to jump over the side. Yeah, I didn't read anywhere where the disciples jumped out of the boat. You need to stay with Jesus, see? You need to stay with Jesus. Storms build our prayer life. Now, I know that when you guys are having everything good and easy, because I'm like this too, prayer life is weak. When you got a good payday coming, prayer life is second, third, or last on your list when everything is going good. But what happens when we hear something bad? What's the first thing out of people's mouths? Oh, my God. A little prayer, isn't it? Kind of funny how when a storm comes along, we start praying. A friend of mine who's an atheist was an ER doctor, and he told me, everybody prays in the emergency room if they're sick enough or somebody they love is sick enough. So storms build our prayer life. You ain't praying, you ain't talking to God. He might just bring a storm along to get you talking to Him. Come on now, you guys got children. You want your children to talk to you, don't you? Your kids go around ignoring you. When you're talking to your child, what are you going to do? You're going to chastise that child, right? Don't you ignore me. I got something to say to you for your own good. What happens when your kid puts hand over their ears? Then they make you mad. Then they fall on the floor. And you're like, stand up. And then they get themselves in bigger trouble because they still ain't listening to you. Now they're fighting you. You fight God in the storm, you know that? Then what happens, you know, I'm using this analogy as children because we do this with God. We close our ears to him. Maybe we're not as obvious as children are about it, but the concept is the same. So you grab that child and he's defiant. He ain't going to listen. You pull his hand off his ear, he's still fighting you. Now it's time to go in the corner. He still's not listening. He's kicking the corner. You ever put a kid in the corner and they're sitting there doing this? And then they take their head and they go. And you're like, stop. Okay, that's it. No TV, no video games. And it just keeps getting worse for the kid, doesn't he? And what do you say? I don't care. I got all day. How many parents have said that in here? I don't care. I got all day. You can sit there all day too. Storms will build your prayer life if you're not listening to God. He'll get you to start listening. He'll get you to start talking. And he will keep you in that storm until he straightens you out, at least to where he needs you to be at that point. Storms build our praise for God. You might not think that, but storms build our praise for God. How could a storm build our praise for God? How could that take place? How could you be going through something and you be thanking God? Well, when you start seeing the changes that God is making in you spiritually, when you start seeing the changes that God is doing for you and molding you in his likeness of his son, and the likeness of his son, when you start seeing that, how could you not thank God? And when you see God getting you through the storm, maybe not as fast as you'd like, maybe not the way that you planned. You know, we all have our way out of a storm, right? We all have our own idea of what we need to do to get out of our own storms. But as we see God working with us and for us in the storm and changing and molding us into Christ-like character, what happens when we have a thankful heart? We start to praise him. We look at ourselves and we assess ourselves as best as we can in our own spiritual eyes, and we say, man, you know, I'm starting to see some changes. I'm not as nervous as I used to be. And I know God's got this. Yesterday was a bad day because yesterday I was really freaking out and I was really worried and I acted up a little bit. But today I'm starting to feel a little more confident in God. I just feel something different. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me that strength I needed today, God. Thank you for speaking a word into my life today, God. I'm still in the storm and I don't like it. But I just feel different about it. I just feel different about it, God. And I thank you. I thank you, God, because what I'm going through right now, I know that you're here with me. And I know that your son Jesus went through some storms too. And you were there with him. And I'm starting to see things like I never saw before. I'm starting to see things differently now. Thank you, God, for giving me new spiritual eyes. Thank you, God, for coming in and comforting me when the storm was raging. Thank you for putting your loving arms around me and letting me feel your presence and letting me know that you're there, letting me know that you love me and you care for me. Thank you, God. Thank you. You do that long enough and God will start talking to you in that praising and he will start telling you how much more he loves you than you can even fathom, how much you can even imagine. And during the hardest times in your life, you can feel God wrapping his arms around you right in the middle of the storm, loving you, caring for you. Like when your child falls and scrapes his knee and you pick him up and you say, I love you. The pain is still there, but the comforting is there with it. And that's how we learn to build our faith in God and to praise God and to be patient as he's working something out, because God is more concerned about your spiritual growth than he is about your situation. As we read the scripture here in Mark, we saw that he just said a couple of words and the storm was over. God ain't nervous in your storm. Why are you? If you got Jesus in you, now remember the disciples didn't have the Holy Ghost. Jesus had not ascended to the Father yet. Remember, I go to the Father and he will send you a helper. The Holy Spirit he was talking about. Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. That wasn't until Pentecost. Disciples didn't have what you guys got. You got Jesus inside of you. You got the Holy Spirit of God residing in you, telling you in person, in your spirit, as a part of you, it's okay. They didn't have that. They didn't have that inside of them. You think about that for a minute. The difference would be like you're at the hospital with a doctor in the room with you in an emergency versus a doctor on the telephone. What would you rather have? The difference is we have Jesus in person in us, not just right here next to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a much greater gift than what these disciples had at this period of time. Now, they did get the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. But at this time, Jesus was just walking with them, not residing in them through the Holy Spirit. So yes, storms build our praise for God. I bet some of you were thinking, yeah, when it's over, whew, thank you, God, that's over with. Had me worried there for a while. I was really scared, but now that it's over, I feel a lot better. That's the wrong answer, because I'm going to tell you why that's the wrong answer. It's in the storm that God wants you to be thanking him, not after the storm. That's easy. It's over. Thank you. And that is easy to thank people once you got through something. That's not faith. That's hindsight. Some of you, you get into a storm and you say to yourself, I'll be thanking him after I get out. I don't want to jump the gun and say, thank you, God, before I get out of it. But see, praising God, just it's not just for his benefit. When you start praising God, you start recognizing some of the attributes of God. You start praising God in the storm, you get strengthened because you start speaking out the things about God. God, you are king. God, you are my Lord. God, this can't happen without your permission because you know all, you see all, and you love me. And you are a great and powerful God, and nothing is too big for you. See, that's praise. Praising isn't always about singing, which is good to sing to God. But sometimes you just got to start praising God and preaching to yourself. I've preached myself happy. I've had people tell me, you're defeated in what you're waiting on God to do. And I start preaching to them, but really I was preaching to myself. Before I know it, I preached myself happy because I was praising God in the things that I was saying. And they look at me like, you're crazy. How could you sit here and be saying all these nice things about God when all this bad stuff's happening to you? Because I know God loves me. And my love for God is not based on my circumstances in life. I'm not a user. I'm not going to stop being your friend because you don't or can't do something for me. So why would I do that to God? God ain't my personal genie. He's not my personal servant. I don't come to him in prayer and tell him what to do. What kind of a friend is that? I'm not going to be your friend because I know that you could get me out of this and you won't. That's a cheap friend. Sounds like a spoiled kid to me. Because God is still God. And like it or not, he knows what's good for you, even when you don't agree with it. You know, when you start criticizing God about the storm, you're actually saying, I'm smarter than you. See, you don't understand, God. This is tearing me to pieces. And God is saying back to you, if you're listening, no, it's tearing off pieces. That's the pain that you feel. It's those things you don't want to let go of. But I love her. She's wrong for you. But I want her. She's wrong for you. I need her. You just think you do. You need me. There's some truth coming through here today. I want it, God. I need it. You don't need anything more than you need me. I am the life, I am the truth, and I am the way. What else do you need besides that? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that shall proceed out of the word of God, out of the mouth of God. You need God. And when you don't recognize that, then God He's got to direct your life and show you where you need him at. Where is God in a storm? God knows when we are in a storm. God knows it when you're in a storm. How many of you know that God knows it when you're in a storm? Let me see some hands. Those are some weak hands. Weak hands. Like you mean it. How many of you know it when your kids are in trouble? Even when they try to hide it from you, you get a note from the teacher. And you may not even say anything. You know something they don't know. That you know. And you're going to see how they act. Is he going to tell me? Or is he going to try to get by on this? Because I know he's in trouble. But he ain't saying nothing to me. Oh, time to pray. You know, you could be in a storm and never even come to God. That's when you're missing your opportunities. Because when you start talking to God in the storms, you start learning things about God and yourself. Now, it can get scary when you start learning things about yourself, can't it? So God knows when you're in a storm, even if you don't think he knows. God knows about the storm before it ever comes. That's why he's telling the disciples, come on, let's go. Jesus wasn't surprised by that by any means. Jesus knew that storm was coming, and God knows about the storm that you're in right now. Whatever it is, before God even created you, he knew you were going to be where you're at right this minute. Is anybody listening to this? Is anybody getting this? You were not surprising God by your failures. He already knew you were going to fail at the thing that got you where you are. He already knew that that person was going to stick it to you before you even knew the person. He already knew all about your abilities and your inabilities of how you could handle the storm before he allowed it into your life. So when you go to God and you say, I can't stand this anymore, he says, lean on me. Lean on me. On the rock. You see, I knew you wouldn't stand this storm. I knew you wouldn't make it through this storm. And you're not going to make it through this storm if you don't lean on me. Because I'm your rock. I am your provider. See, if I wanted you to get through this storm by yourself, well, the storm wouldn't have been so big. But because I wanted you to get through it with me, and I knew what you could and could not handle, I made it so big that you're going to have to lean on me. Because if you don't lean on me, you're going to sink like a rock instead of holding on to the rock. Who wants to drown? Didn't think so. Jesus is the only rock you can hold on to in an ocean of storms and not sink. Did you hear that? Jesus is the only rock that you can hold on to in an ocean of storms and not sink. Jesus will hold you up in the storm. But see, when you're in the storm, you have to reach for him. Right now in your storm, God is reaching out to you. But you know what you're doing? You're doing this. You're closing your ears like little kids. I don't want to hear that, God. What do you mean I got to conform to your likeness? What do you mean I got to conform to the likeness of your son? Wait. I'm talking to you about my storm, and you're talking to me about my character in Christ. What do the two have to do together? Well, it was your lack of character in Christ that got you here in the first place. And so I'm trying to teach you something about me. Something about behaving like Christ and conforming. Now, see, let me tell you something. God just spoke to me about this. We don't mimic Christ. We become like him. There's a difference. You can act like a Christian and you can talk like a Christian, but you got to have something inside of you that is like Christ. You have to be Christ-like. The Bible says we have to be Christ-like. He has to become more of us. You got to let go of that fleshy stuff. You got to quit saying, God, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to hold on to. This is mine. It doesn't belong in my life, but I'm keeping it anyways. Now you have to die to Christ so that he can live inside of you. Two people can't occupy the same place at one time, can they? How can two people live in the same spot at the same time? One of you's got to go. One of you's got to go. You guys can't come to church, and neither can I, without coming to God first and saying, God, make me more like Jesus. I wish I could do better. And sometimes I'm scared to ask God because I'm afraid he's going to send me a storm. I'm not perfect, but I strive for the perfection of Christ. God will not forget about us while we are in the storm. Ever feel forgotten about? Ever wake up in the morning and you had a bad night and you're just thinking, man, God's forgotten that I'm in this mess. You may not say it. You may not be consciously thinking that, but you feel all alone. The disciples felt all alone. Wake up! Anybody ever feel like telling God to wake up? He's not sleeping. Jesus knew what was going on. Now, you got to listen to this. Jesus was sleeping in the storm. He wasn't scared. He wasn't worried. He had faith. He knew his Father. He knows his Father. He wasn't panicking. Come on, he was sleeping. Did you guys read the scriptures? A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. When a boat gets swamped in the water, people could die. And Jesus, I mean, come on, think about back and forth rocking, waves splashing over, winds and rain. And Jesus was sleeping through all of this. He wasn't even worried. The disciples were worried. Wake up. Don't you care? Of course he cared. He was testing their faith. See, when you're in the storm, God, his presence, not himself, but the feeling of God, he can take that away from you. He's still right there. He hasn't left. But he could just make you feel like he's walked away. But he's still there. And you'd be like, where'd you go? Where are you, God? You could feel like you're all alone in the storm because God has allowed you to feel that way, to test you like he did with the disciples. Did he not do that with them? He was sleeping and it scared them. They thought he wasn't on the job. They thought he wasn't on the job. So we get into our own storms and we think God's not doing his job. Wake up, God. He won't forget about you. Even when you forget about him, he won't forget about you. Because he already knew you were going to forget about him in the storm before you were ever born. He knew everything about this storm that you're in. But James, you don't understand. You see, this storm came up all of a sudden. Nobody could have seen this coming. And I've heard of circumstances where people have not made it through this kind of storm. Well, I've heard of faith that have gotten people through storms of the same kind that I've been through. And I said to myself, if God got them through it, he's going to get me through it. Because sometimes you look at another person's circumstances and another person's storm, and you say to yourself, how did they get through it? And why didn't they get through it? Where am I at in this? You understand? You could look at three groups of people. You could look at three different people. A person who's gotten through the storm you're going through, a person who didn't get through the storm you're going through, and yourself. Which person do you want to be? The one that didn't make it through? Or the person who did? When I find myself in a situation, I say to myself, I'm going to let God give me the victory. I'm going to lean on him and not on my own understanding, not on my own strength. I can't do it on my own. That's why I'm here right now. There's some things that you can't do on your own, out of your control, and it looks hopeless. Looks like it's over. Looks like it's done with. Looks like it's never going to be back the way it used to be. But God didn't forget. God didn't forget. God will end the storm in his own timing, not ours. God, get me out. God, get me out. God, save me. God, stop this. Nope. When I deem it time, you will be out of this storm. That doesn't mean you can't keep yourself longer in it. There's some storms that God wanted to end a year ago for some people. Or 2 years ago. Or 5 years ago. Or yesterday. Or today, God wants to end a storm for somebody. But they have not surrendered to Jesus Christ. They have not surrendered to God in the storm. How did the disciples surrender in their storm that we just read? Does anybody know how the disciples surrendered? I'll tell you how. They ran to Jesus. They went and got him. Think about that. We're in a storm. The boat's about to sink. I'm running to Jesus. Their attitude may have been wrong. Their faith may have been weak. But they knew who to go to. Some of you don't know who to go to. Some of you think, I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm not going to go to God. He never helps me anyways. That's the wrong attitude. Disciples had that attitude. Don't you care? That's a sorry attitude. Don't you care? I'm about to go to cross. I'm about to go to the cross for you. And I don't care about you. I love you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. His only one son. Okay, God is merciful to us when we are in the storm. God's never going to lay on you more than you can handle with him. Does that make sense? You might be broken. You may not be the same person when he's done with you. But God is merciful to us. He will be points in the storms where there's some calmness. He'll put some pressure on, lean on you. And it's going to hurt, be uncomfortable, but then he's going to ease up on you, give you some rest. Especially when you're praying to him and praising him and thanking him and reading his word and spending time with him, you feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because you could be in a storm and people looking at you and saying, man, you're going through some stuff. Why are you so peaceful? Well, I'm not happy about my circumstances. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But I know that Jesus is with me. And just having him around, I don't know, just does something for me. You ever have a situation that nobody could help you in, but a friend comes along and you just feel better just because they're there? Problem's still there, but there's some comfort that there's somebody there. You know, God in his mercy comes to us anytime we ask him to. He's already there, but when we seek his presence, he comes to us in a loving, compassionate, peaceful way that lifts that burden off. He says, I'll carry this for you. I'll carry this for you. You're not alone. And I'm almost done. Points to remember. Life storms are to be taken very seriously. Life storms are to be taken very seriously. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. If you guys take your storms lightly, you could be swamped. Life is serious, guys. And it's better to avoid a storm than to think that you can handle it when it gets there. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. No storm is too big for God to handle. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. How many of you guys know right now that the thing you're going through, God can change with a word? So why isn't he doing it? You know, guys, we're talking about storms here. Sometimes storms are not always for the person who's going through them. It's not always for their benefit. Sometimes God is setting things up for somebody else. Sometimes God is using storms to help other people, but another suffering. But no storm is too big for God to handle. So don't think that your circumstances is beyond God. Because if God wanted that great thing to happen for you, it would have happened. Or it will happen. But if God has something else in mind for you, then that's going to take place instead. Because not everything you think you want or need is actually good for you or good for the people that are involved. You could be wanting something that involves another person and God says, good for you, bad for them. Maybe not right now. Maybe not tomorrow, but how about 10 years down the road? You don't see what I see. I see a big mess if I give this to you. We are to quiet our spirit in a storm. We are to be still until God gives us direction. Again, in verse 9, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in the boat with Jesus, and he said, quiet, be still, I think something in my spirit would say to me, you know, God's kind of talking to you too. Now, I know it says that he was talking to the waves, but honestly, when you come to God, and you're not quiet in your spirit, if you're frantic, if you're having a panic attack, you're not going to be hearing what he's got to say. Ever try to talk to somebody who's hyperventilating? You're trying to tell them to breathe into a paper bag, but they're freaked out and they're not listening to you. People who are in a panic state, they're not paying attention to the things going around them. So we have to be quiet in our spirit and we have to wait on the direction from God. Now, I know some of you guys have given advice to people. Every one of us has given advice. Have you ever seen somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and you're telling them, stop doing that. And they're so emotionally involved that they're thinking, who are you to tell me? You don't know what I'm going through, and they don't want to listen to you. But see, you're not involved emotionally to the level they are. It may be affecting you too, but maybe this person's closer to the problem, and they're telling you, wait, be patient. But this person is like, No, I got to do something right now. I don't care what it is. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to wait on God. Well, see, if God doesn't answer your prayer right away, if he doesn't give you an answer right away, that's not always a no. That's not always a no. Sometimes, you know, God says yes to prayer. He says no to prayer, and he says wait. Well, we don't like the wait, do we? When God says, wait, you're like, what? No. Yesterday, God, I want this over with yesterday. No, wait. No, I got to do something right now. Wait. Hold your horses. No. So if we get too frantic, we can miss God's timing. We can mess everything up. How many of you know that God has a timing for your life? Nobody knows that? There's a reason why your prayer hasn't been answered yet. We're all going through something, and we all want our answers yesterday. God will let that storm swirl around you until you learn something. So we have to be quiet in front of God and listen. We don't want our emotions getting ahead of us and then start telling God what we want or need. Jesus says your Father in heaven knows already before you ask what you need. In the last month, how many of you have asked God for his will in your life? See, there ain't no hands with that one because people are scared of God's will for their life. No, it's because we think that God's will would circumvent our own will. See, when you're not asking God for his will in your life, you're not surrendering. See, in the storm and out of the storm, you got to approach God in the sense that I want your will for my life. Whatever it is you want me to be doing, get me to doing it, God. And what I can't do, do with me. Give me the strength. Anoint me to do it. Because God, if I'm on the wrong path and I'm not doing or having what you want for my life, then set it up for me. I want to serve you. See, that's the right way to approach God in a storm and out of a storm. That quiet spirit that has confidence and faith and patience in God, knowing that no matter what the outcome, God's going to get me to the other side of the shore. And I'm going to be on the right track with God. Because if you're not praying for God's will, then your will is going to be done instead of His in your life. And guess what? You're going to mess things up. And that's how storms come in. That's how we create our own storms. God is with us in the storm, even if we can't sense Him there. And I kind of went already over this. Jesus was sleeping. But verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Ever feel like God doesn't care? Like He's not there? That's how they felt. They knew Him better than this. Don't we all know God better than that? What was going on with these guys? Why would they say that? Does anybody know what was going on with the disciples that would make them say this? They were scared. They were acting out on emotion, and they said the wrong thing to God. Lack of faith in a storm causes us to fear. That's how we get to that point. Anybody know that? If you have faith, you won't have fear. If you have fear, it will affect your faith. You understand how the two go together? Next time you feel afraid, check your faith. Verse 40, He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Question, why are you so afraid? Get the word, afraid? That's fear. Do you still have no faith? See why He asked those two questions? Question yourself. Why am I afraid? Could it be that I have no faith? Bingo. He gave them the question and the answer with another question. Jesus loves to question us. God loves to question us. It gets us to think. When Adam and Eve sinned and they hid from God, He says, "Where are you?" He knew where they were. We're hiding. We did something bad. And now we're down here in the bushes hiding because we're naked. Seriously. He knew all about it. But once He asked the question, He got them thinking about what they had done. That got them thinking and to see what they're doing was wrong to do. Make sense, guys? Start asking yourself some questions. Why am I upset with this person? Why am I upset with this situation? Why am I scared? Lack of faith. We are to pray to God first when a storm comes. We don't run to the telephone. We run to the King's throne. We don't call up a friend and say, "Help, help, help." Sure, there's people that can help you, and I'm not telling you not to call for help. But you need to pray to God that you get the right direction first, because you may not know who to call. There's some things that people can't help you with. There are things in your life that only God can get you out of. And you're calling everybody else. You're not even talking to Him. Some of you are laughing because you've done this. I've done it. Calling up people, telling them your problems, talking about your problems. And these people probably don't care. Or if they do care, they can't do anything about it. Or if they can do something about it and they do care, they still ain't gonna care enough to do anything about it. People will let you down. And then you get off the phone and you're exhausted. I feel worse than I did before I called. Now I really feel hopeless. I pray, but I'm out of strength. I don't know what to do. Or you call the wrong person and you say one little thing about God and they're not a Christian. But I have faith. Nah, you need more than faith. You in some trouble. God can't even get you out of this. And they start chopping your faith down because they're not believers. Where was God the last time you went through something? Where was your faith the last time you went through something? Look, don't go to God in a storm and say, "Well, I remember this storm and this bad stuff happened to me and you didn't get me out of it." Don't remember your last storms. Remember your faith in those last storms. Ask yourself, where did I go wrong in those last storms? You guys catch that? You can be in a storm right now and think about something bad that happened to you years ago and say to yourself, "Well, God didn't help me then." Where was your faith? You cannot move God without faith. The only thing that saved them disciples is they woke Jesus up. They came to Him. Had they not come to Him, they would still be in that storm. Amen? In your last storm of failure, did you come to God and did you stick with him? Not just woke him up, quote, woke him up. Did you stay in the boat with him? Or did you jump ship with God in the last failure, the last failed storm? Think about what I'm saying. Did you jump ship the last time you feel that God failed you? Did you fail God or did he fail you? I know I jumped ship in the past. I didn't stick it out with him. I did things my way. In the end, it is God that delivers us from the storm and not ourselves. Put no faith in anything that you do or don't do or anybody else around you. God can use you and he can use people around you in things, sure. But ultimately, it is God in his direction and his mighty power and his sovereignty that gets us through and out of the storm.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.